Hey everybody, it's Mike. Welcome or welcome back to the Revision Church Podcast. While you're here, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Revision app, which is actually the best way to get access to new content and share it with friends. You can get the app by texting Revision app to 77977. Thanks for listening today. My hope is that this message will be helpful for you and would inspire you to take the next step on your faith journey.
Hey, do you mind let's just thank the worship team for leading us. Big round of applause for everybody on the team. This is awesome. And I know, you know, majority of you are like, who are you? And I'm Mike's brother-in-law. So happy Revision Church Sunday. My name is Tony, and just grateful to be here and just love this church. More than you know, I am one of the biggest fans of Revision from afar there are. I watch online, and so just do me another favor. I'm going to make you clap a couple times. Let's welcome everybody who's watching in online right now. Big round of applause for everybody. We are here. I'm just, you know, that's me. I'm watching online, and so we're just grateful for everybody here and everybody online, and just love that Revision has a heartbeat to just reach more people than even in Des Moines, just online, and I just know there's a bunch of you there. And grateful again to be here. I know Mike starts this way. We actually start this way because Revision starts this way, and I'll tell you more about that in a second. But help me, last time clapping, I'm glad to be here. How about you? Come on, Revision Church! Of the summer that you can, don't you? You know, people down south, you go, oh, you don't even appreciate summer like we appreciate summer. It's like, tell your kids to get outside, don't come back in until 9 o'clock. It's like, I want you to have every, you know, ounce of this summer that you can experience. And it starts, you know, back in May for us when we start to go like, it's grill season. You know, so summer just tells me it's like, it's burgers and brats every night. Like, you don't even have to ask us what we're making for dinner. That's just what we do. And summer, you know, in our family is just lots of birthdays. And then my brother, my actual brother, Mike's my brother-in-law. I'm not sure if you can tell the, you know, resemblance. But my actual brother, I should have went like this, you know. My brother actually lives up in Minnesota, and he revolutionized our summer. Just this last week, we went up to Minnesota, and we spent 3 days on a boat, his boat, which, by the way, this is a great thing to have a brother who has a boat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need a boat. He has a boat. And so we'll just let him take care of all that. And so here's our girls at the front of this thing eating some Sour Patch Kids. Here's another picture of, you know, me and my wife and my youngest daughter, Ella. And we just had so much fun doing that. But I'm telling you, there was a tax to be paid for a week on the lake up in Minnesota. And we didn't know, because day one was just this last Monday. As we are getting up to Lakeville, Minnesota, is where my brother lives, it was a kind of an overcast day. And it was a hot day, but it was overcast. We just thought, there's no better day to be out on the lake. You know, it's like, just go out there and have some fun. And me and my wife, Carrie, kind of naively, we should have known. You know, you should know this when you have this many, and our oldest is almost 10. but we decided not to sunscreen them. It's like, I don't know why we decided not to do that. And some of you are going like, oh, you still don't know. It's like, we didn't know, you know? It's just like, but we just thought because of the clouds, we're like, don't even worry about it. Let's just go have some fun. And so no joke, we spent 6 or 7 hours, you know, baking under not a sun, just the clouds, tubing, beating their, you know, selves up all over the place. And then something happened that night. Monday night, we take some showers, and we're getting the girls, you know, ready for bed. And then, like, you know, it's almost just like all happened to all of us at the same time. Our skin just started to, like, you know, it's like just started to beam red. And the girls started just, like, panic. My wife, actually, when we crawled in bed, I was like, you feel like a hot tamale. And you look like one, too. It's like, just stay over there. And I could just, like, feel the heat waves coming off her. And it burnt us so bad, like wreck day two. You know, it's like one of those burns where you're like, I can feel it in the shower. Feels like it's needles coming on you the whole time. And you know what I'm talking about, except for some of you good parents in the room. You're like, of course you sunscreen even when it's cloudy. We don't. We paid the mistake. And here's what I was reminded of afresh on Monday night. That summers are great. It's like, I love this series title, Summer at Revision. Summers are awesome unless you get burned. Like, it just ruins everything about summer if you have to wake up and you feel like your back is peeling off, or, you know, if somebody just, like, high-fives you on the shoulder and you kind of want to kick them in the face. It's like, summers are great unless you get burned. And I think what all of us intuitively know is that there are some burns that can burn our skin, but there are some other burns that can burn our hearts and burn our souls. And that's what I want to talk about today. To share two of them with you, but I think there's some great insight found in Proverbs chapter 4. It's a guy named Solomon, and he kind of understands this. That absolutely, the sun can burn our skins, and it can ruin a week on a lake, but there are some things that if you let them, can burn the insides, can burn your hearts, can damage who you are. And so Solomon says very wisely in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he says, guard your heart above all else. You know, just like, do something about that. You don't want that part of your life getting burned so bad that it causes a wake of destruction around you. He says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What I think Solomon is saying is, like, start using some sunscreen, you morons. Like, just put on some stuff. And what I love about the Bible is it almost, he answers this for us, like, you know what, I'm just going to tell you what type of sunscreen to use. Like, you're going to go to the store and you're going to get some SPF, like, 75. Because your heart matters that much to God. Like, your soul matters so much that Solomon's about to give us some advice, some sunscreen to put on so that we protect ourselves from a burn that won't just burn our skin, but has a potential of burning our hearts and our souls and causing damage in our lives around us. He goes on to say this in the next verse. He says, here's what I want you to do. Here's the sunscreen that I want you to wear in the summer. He says, just avoid all perverse talk. And I think we get this. Like, we know how damaging perverse talk can be towards each other, towards ourselves. He says, stay away from corrupt speech. I just find it fascinating. He's going like, man, there's something about your words, you know, what we say about each other, what I say about myself and my own heart, you know, that has a way of burning me if I let it. Like, the words that I say has the potential of destroying people around and destroying my own self. Solomon goes, hey, you don't want a sunscreen on that. You don't want those words to damage your heart. He goes on to say this, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the safe path. He's going, hey, here's another one for you. I don't want you to just have your feet taking you places that you know you shouldn't go. Like, if you're like me, you know what it's like to go like, there's my target. And then you start going to it and you're like, squirrel, over here. It's like, you just get distracted so easy. And Solomon's going, there's some danger around you, so fix your eyes straight. And what I think he'd encourage us all is fix your eyes right on Jesus. Just go after Jesus with everything you have in your life because he's the safe one to go after with everything you have in your being. And then he wraps it up by saying, don't get sidetracked and keep your feet from following evil. I think Solomon goes, hey, we're not going to kid around with the summer. We're going to remind ourselves that summers are great, but there is a burn often associated with the heat that can happen in our lives if we're not careful. So watch what you say. Keep your feet from going to the wrong places and go straight ahead. And you'll protect yourself from some of the burns that naturally come in our lives. And I just want to share two of them today. Just two burns that I've experienced personally in my life when I haven't done what Solomon says, when I haven't followed his advice of staying focused on Jesus. And maybe you'll relate, maybe you'll go, no, that's not me, that's somebody over here. But more than likely, we've all experienced some burns that haven't just burned our skin, that have burned our hearts. The first burn that I want to tell you about is the burn of bitterness. And this is a burn that's real. I mean, I've wrestled with this plenty of times in my life of just being bitter. And I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but I'm assuming that most of us have experienced a season where you've just been bitter on the inside. And here's what's fascinating about the burn of bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, watch out. Make sure you put the sunscreen on for bitterness. How come? Because bitterness has a way of growing up and causing trouble and corrupting many around you. This bitterness stuff doesn't just damage your heart. Bitterness has a way of leaking out and corrupting other people. This word corrupting in the Greek is actually this word miaino, and it's this word that means stain or pollute or contaminate. Like there's something to bitterness that has a way of not just burning you, but rubbing off and burning other people around you. Kind of reminds me, Mike was a youth pastor before he started Revision, and so was I. I've just always kind of been following along in Mike's footsteps. He's got a big shadow, so I just follow him, you know? And so I was doing student ministry, and I remember reading this illustration about applesauce, and I was going to bring applesauce, but nobody even likes applesauce anymore. So it's like, but I remember, you know, just having this giant jug of applesauce, this giant jug. And it's like, how many, and I was talking to students who, you know, at the time didn't have money, you know, so I was like, how many of you would take a bite of applesauce for a dollar? And they're all like, yeah. And I feel like kids nowadays would be like, 20, maybe, you know, it's like, but back then it's like a dollar. They'd be like, yeah, I'll do it for a dollar. Man, you could blend up Happy Meals. They'd be like, oh, you did it for free. It's like, so I had applesauce and they came up and they each took a bite. You know, I was like, oh, I did it. And I was like, okay, good job. And then I said, all right, here's what I really want to show you though. So let me just hawk up the biggest loogie I can. And I did. I'm going to save it for you. But what I did is, you know, I just did one of those things and I got it out. And I could have, you know, I could have, but I could have went like this with it, you know. And I just wanted the visual for everybody online of like what type of loogie I was going for. So I like really got this thing up, drank some milk before so I could really, you know, get a mucusy enough. You got what I'm saying here? And I just logged it right into the bowl. And then I stirred it right up. And then I did the same thing. I said, well, now how many of you for a buck, you know, would do it? And one goes like, for 100, maybe. And it was just pretty clear. I was like, it's just a little, I mean, it was a generous sized loogie, but it was just like a little generous sized loogie. And I think we all agreed. A little bit of that contaminates the whole bowl. And the same principle is true about bitterness. Like there is an interesting correlation to bitterness having a way of lodging itself in your life but affecting your family dinner. Lodging yourself in your life, affecting your work environment. You know, bitterness being something that consumes who you are, and then your friends just feel it around you. And what I find fascinating about bitterness is it's really easy to see in somebody else, isn't it? Like they almost wear it on their face. It's kind of hard to see in yourself. And so I just wanted to help you identify it for yourself. Maybe you're just like, I don't know, I don't struggle with bitterness. It's like, well, let's just see, you know, just review it for yourself, audit yourself. Here's just four ways that you know that there might be bitterness in you. Maybe for you, you easily see the bad in others. You just pick people apart. They haven't even done anything to you, but you're just like, oh, I see the van that they drive. I can't believe they drive a Chrysler. It's like, I don't know, it's like, I'm just making fun of vans. It's like, I can't believe they voted for that person. I can't believe they spent their stimmy on this. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, whatever you do. It's not funny to people in Des Moines. It's funny in Washington. Feel justified in criticizing and gossiping. You know, you celebrate others' misfortunes. You just do. You're just bitter. Maybe you've experienced this before. You intentionally bring people down. It's like, and I just think about ways that I can make their name mud. Bitterness just has a way of doing that in our lives. When I started City Point Church, again, it was like the same weekend that Revision got started, but it's such a different context. And Mike, I thought, did it so beautifully here in Des Moines and just the way that you guys have honored other churches and just done this. Well, Washington, Iowa is a small community. It's 7,000 people. It's rural. And there was already a handful of churches there. And for us starting a new church, I don't know if I was naive and just assuming that like, man, people are, you know, people are just going to be excited about new churches starting, right? They should be, you know, especially the Christians in that town. Like, yes. And hopefully Revision got a red carpet coming to town, you know. But it didn't happen like that in Washington. And there's actually a lot of negative things said about me, and then it got really hard for me when it was said about my wife, and I just go, oh, not my beautiful family, don't. And assumptions were made, oh, you're just going to try and steal our people from our church. And I go, oh, it's the furthest thing from the truth. We just want to see the lost found and the people who are desperate for hope find it in Jesus. And so I'll just be honest with you. There was the first 2 years of us starting our church that I wrestled with serious bitterness. Seeing people at the Farm and Fleet, you know, and seeing people at the grocery stores and these places and just having eyes glance at you and then just getting to a spot where you're like, I'm just putting them right back on you. Like, if this is how it's going to be, I'm just going to let bitterness take over and it's going to be like boxing gloves. And then I just, honestly, it felt like the Holy Spirit, and it's really the only one who comes and motivates you to move past this, where the God Spirit was like, so are you going to forgive them yet? Like, are you going to really let your church be birthed out of anger towards other people? Or are you going to silence the bitterness? Are you going to cut the root off and actually move forward? And I just feel like it was in one of those times, me, God, the Holy Spirit, just reading my Bible, when I was reminded that the only thing that fixes the burn of bitterness is a prayer like this. God, help me forgive them just like you've forgiven me. God, help me forgive the person who's offended me, just like you forgave me when I offended you. God, would you help me forgive my spouse who burned me, just like you forgave me and how I burned you? And I just learned this afresh, and I was almost embarrassed to be reminded that forgiveness is best exercised when it's secondhand. Like, when you know firsthand what Jesus has done for you, then secondhand you forgive somebody else. That's true forgiveness. Let me show you what it says in the scripture. It says this in Ephesians chapter 4. This is Paul saying, he says, be kind to each other. Now, Paul knew what it was like to not be kind to somebody. But he says, I want you to be kind to somebody. I want you to be kind to each other. I want you to be tenderhearted. I want you to forgive one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I want you to give it secondhand. I want you to live such a life of forgiveness that it cuts off the root of bitterness in your life every time. Can't offend me. I have Jesus in me. You can't slander me. I've already surrendered my life to the King, and I will choose to live for him now with my life. In Colossians, Paul says it this way, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive one another who offends you. Remember that the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. The first burn is the burn of bitterness. And I'm only going to give two. I love summers, but summers have a way of reminding you that if you're not careful, you get burned. The second burn that I want to talk to you about, and it's really the last one too, and there's more, is the burn of bad behavior. The burn of bad behavior. And there are some things that we do. Remember in that first passage in Proverbs, it says, you know, stay away from that path. Well, don't we all just have a way of just wanting to go towards the wrong direction? It's like Solomon saying, like, no, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because anything over there is like a bad behavior that you know you shouldn't do. And I know about bad behaviors. I do. And I know about big ones, and I know about not so big ones. Like, here's a picture of my pantry right now. And just so you're like, oh no, he is a bad parent. He gives his kids that's my stuff. Like, that's the high shelf, you know, in the pantry. It's like, my kids don't even know that this exists, all right? This is me and Carrie's bad behavior. And I don't know if this is from her family, if this is in her bloodline, but every night around 11:30, we just go like, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, I know what time it is. It's cereal time. It's like, so I go and I like move the stuff out of the way and we grab out the cereal. And I'm just going to save you guys some time. The Cosmic Brownies is terrible. It's like, you just don't do that one. Stick to Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That is where it's at. All right. Carrie is more of a Lucky Charms girl. But like, that's a bad behavior that we just kind of play around with. And we know it's not so good because it shows itself off right in this area, right there. But there are some behaviors that aren't as funny as the top shelf of your pantry. There are some behaviors that you've been letting your feet go to, me too, that burn your hearts, burn your souls. Solomon said, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's like sunscreen, it's like protection for your heart. But anytime you kind of let yourself go places you shouldn't go, it exposes your life to patterns and behaviors that you know shouldn't be in your life. And make no mistake about it, there is a spiritual enemy who wants your life to be burdened by bad behaviors, whose entire purpose, honestly, is to keep you stuck in a path that you shouldn't be. Like, he doesn't even want you to have freedom. He wants you to be burdened for the rest of your life. He wants you to say, I could never break free from this. I could never be healed. I will always struggle. I'll always have this addiction. I'll always have this thing hidden from my family and my friends. That's what the enemy wants. And Jesus tells us what the devil's purpose actually is in John 10. He says the thief or the devil, his purpose is to steal your life. He wants you to go the direction you're not supposed to go. Like, some of you are like me, you're like, you're going the wrong way. You're like, I don't even know how I got here. It's like, well, more than likely, there's this thing on the inside of you, your sin nature, that still tries to pull you in the direction that is opposite of the God of God's. And the enemy is just going to keep wanting to draw you that way too. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus shares his purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. It's to have you break free. It's to have you be forgiven and to move forward. I love what your church is known for, at least in my mind. It's one of the coolest things that I get to watch happen is, I don't know if it's every month or every quarter, where Courtney and, you know, the team here get to organize Reach Des Moines. I think it's one of the coolest things in the world. And honestly, I envy that. I go, man, that is just such an awesome heartbeat that you guys have. And for a long time, I was like, man, what do we have? You know, what does City Point have? I'm not trying to compare, but I was just like, I just love that. That is Mike's heart. That is Courtney's. That is your staff and your church just to say, we are for this city. And a few years ago, I'll never forget what started to happen at our church. We had some new friends start showing up who looked a lot different than, you know, the majority of our church looked. And there were people who had struggled a lot in their past with drugs and alcohol and abused them a lot, and you could see it on the way they carried themselves. And we started to just ask ourselves, you know, how are we helping? You know, Sunday mornings are great, singing songs are great, but what are we doing? You know, our you know, life groups that meet for 4 weeks or 5 weeks aren't quite doing it. You know, like, we got to do something else. And then I had a couple volunteers say, hey, what if we started a Celebrate Recovery, which is a ministry to help people find freedom from their hurts, their habits, and their hangups. I got to attend a couple weeks ago. There was 30, and I know it's nothing compared to numbers in Des Moines, but for our small town, I got to watch as 30 people who self-admitted, I have some things in my life, I have some bad behaviors that are burning my life, and I need to be honest about it. And if Jesus will forgive me, I'll start to pursue him with my life. It's unbelievable to watch. Kind of like what I imagine. Reach Des Moines, these unique things that we have our thumbprints on and God has on, for us to just be a bright light in the world around us. And it just reminds me of what Paul tells again the church in Colossians about breaking free from the bad behaviors that we have in our lives. Let me just read you a little bit longer chunk of scripture. It's in chapter 3. It says, since you have been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. It's like, you want to know how to not be burned anymore? Focus right in on Jesus, right on heaven. Let the other things fade away. God, I'm going for you. He says, put to death the sinful and the earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with the sexual immorality or impurity, lust, and evil desires. You used to do those things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, bad behavior, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other anymore, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wickedness. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I think one of the greatest gifts that we can have in the summer is to take a little examination. Is there anything going on in my life right now that's causing me to be bitter? Anything in my life that is needing to be exposed about a bad behavior pattern that Jesus would like to free me from? I believe God can do that today. I want to show you a video, and then I'll wrap it up, of a man named Billy Butters. He's a hockey player, played on the Olympic team in 1980, our Olympic gold team, and has an incredible story of how God redeemed a bad behavior that he had in his life. Take a look at this, and I'll wrap it up.
My role in hockey was to protect the good players. My job was to drop my gloves and hit people, and I must have been in about 100 fights, you know, and my reputation was a tough, rugged, aggressive person, even mean-spirited, and that's what other people thought of me. And I remember the words of Herb Brooks. He said, "Right now, Billy, you're a character. I hope someday you'll have character." I grew up in White Bear Lake in the 50s, and my mom and dad split up when I was 4 years old. And not having a father figure in my life, the sports team, the coaches that I had, kind of became my salvation. I felt accepted there. I felt like I was wanted. Baseball was my first love, and I was just kind of a throw-in on hockey. I wasn't a good skater, I wasn't a good shooter, passer, but my buddy said, "You're good in football, and you know how to hit people, and you can probably do okay in hockey." So lo and behold, I made the high school hockey team when I was a sophomore, played in the state tournament, was an all-conference player as a junior and senior, and went to the University of Minnesota for 4 years, and then I played 7 years of professional hockey. For 11 years, playing college hockey and playing pro hockey, it was exciting for me. You're playing a sport, you're getting your college education paid for, and then you become a pro, you get a paycheck for playing a game, you practice an hour and a half a day, you go play golf, you get to do all kinds of stuff. It affords you a lifestyle that is unbelievable. I got to play with Gordie Howe, Bobby Hull, some of the greatest names in hockey. It was really a dream come true. I was, you know, something that a lot of people just wish they could do, play pro sports, get a paycheck. I had everything that a hockey fan would want, but I lost my soul. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what pro athletes do with their money and their time off and that, and I was spending a lot of time away from my family. When you don't have a standard to live by, anything goes. So I thought my lifestyle was great, but everything I was doing was wrong. And the only good thing in my life was my wife and my children, and I didn't even know that. Watch the puck. Here comes the pass. Snap it. There you go. I grew up in that era where I was paid money to play outside the rules. And I didn't know it at the time, but it transcended into my personal life. I played outside the rules of a marriage. I wasn't a good husband, and I wasn't a good dad. I had three beautiful children and a beautiful wife, but the bad thing about me was I was a good liar. So no one in my family knew the double life I was living, but I just did things that aren't conducive to a good marriage. In 1980, my career was coming to an end, and my teammate with the Minnesota North Stars saw that. He invited me to a hockey camp. It was a Christian hockey camp. I didn't want to go, but I knew my life was falling apart, so I went reluctantly. When I went to the camp, I saw things I never saw in the hockey rink. Kids were reading Bibles, they were singing songs about Jesus. It was unbelievable, something that I had never seen in my life. After these boys were hounding me for 3 days to participate in the Christian stuff, I finally gave in and went to a chapel. I heard a song about Jesus. I heard a message about salvation, about God wanting to come into my life. And then these same boys invited me to their group that night, and they prayed for me. They told me that Jesus was the toughest guy that lived, and that I could have him as my Lord and Savior. And I got down on my knees, and those boys put their hands on me and prayed with me a prayer of salvation. I couldn't wait to get home to tell my wife what happened. So I go home and I said, "Debbie, I got some great news. I invited Jesus in my life and he's my Lord and Savior. And I'm so excited." And she was excited for me. I said, "That's a good news. Here's the bad news. I've been unfaithful for 7 years. And she kind of pulled back. I said, "I'm a drunk. I've spent our money unwisely. And she started to cry, and then she started to cry harder, and I tried to comfort her, and she pushed me away. It seemed like for a couple hours, I don't know how long it was, but soon she got composed and reached out her hands, and I put my hands in hers, and she looked me in the eye. And she said the same thing that Jesus said to me. She said, "I forgive you. And let's build our marriage on our faith in Jesus." And she put skin on Jesus for me that day. She took that blow and she said, "I forgive you." And it took a long time for me to gain her trust and her respect. But we stayed in our marriage. And shortly thereafter, we started going to church. You see, 1980 in hockey is a big name. That's a miracle on ice. Herb Brooks, my old coach, took his team. They won the gold medal. But the miracle on ice in my life happened at that hockey camp when those little boys had enough courage to share the love of Jesus with me.
I love Billy's story. It's the story of a man who knows what it's like to have some bad behaviors in his life, but to also experience Jesus, the one who can forgive you. Love his language. Jesus is the toughest guy I know. And isn't that the truth? It's the one who could take the blows that we have, our sins and our mess, and choose to love us and forgive us. You guys have heard the gospel before if you've been at Revision, but maybe you're new. That Jesus was sent on a rescue mission for me and you. People who have bitterness, people who have bad behaviors in our lives. The Bible calls that sin. And what we need is a Savior, one who is willing to pay the price for our sins so that we could have freedom, we could have hope, and we could have a direction in our life different from what we had used to chase after. The prayer that I told you about for bitterness is, "God, would you help me forgive them just like you've forgiven me?" I think there's a prayer for bad behaviors too. I think it's a prayer of saying, "God, I need you to free me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need you to free me from where I've been and then fill me so that I can now chase after you in a different way." I want to end by just praying that over this church, praying this over you. And so if you would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? We all love summer. But summer's a good time to remind ourselves that we can chase after Jesus. We can avoid some of the burns in our lives. So God, would you help us do that today? Maybe for some of us in the room, we know what it's like to be struggling with bitterness. And it's real right now. Maybe for you, there's bitterness towards a spouse, bitterness towards an ex, towards a parent or a child, or maybe a coworker. I don't know. But God, what I do know is you've invited us to be free from bitterness by extending forgiveness. So God, I pray that over this room. I pray that bitterness would be gone because we are stepping forward as people who are chasing a bigger, better vision, a God-sized one, one that is led by forgiveness. Then God, my hunch is that in a room this size, there are some people here that know what it's like to take a path that they shouldn't be on. And maybe this morning, maybe it's that video or some of the scripture. God, you're drawing them closer to you. And if you're here by chance and you're going, "No, that's me. I'm like Billy. I got my own stuff, my own patterns and behaviors that I need to be forgiven for and freed from." You can pray this right after me. It doesn't have to be out loud, but this is just a prayer where you can confess and turn to Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior. You can say something like this: "God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for coming on a rescue mission for me. God, I pray right now that you would take my sin and my shame and my bad behaviors and that you'd forgive me. God, that you would free me. And then right now that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I want to be led by you. God, today I make you my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life. It's yours now. Help me live for you. I pray this in your name. Amen." Proud of you.